Welcome in the post. What's going on, y'all? Devon Givens here with you on 97.5 The Fanatic, 1026, following another Philadelphia 76ers victory tonight. Win over Boston, 117-109. They are now 10-5 on the young season, 8-5 for the Boston Celtics at this time. The Milwaukee Bucks were idle tonight, but as we started the night, the Boston Celtics were atop of the Eastern Conference with the Sixers and the Milwaukee Bucks right behind them in first place. And guess what? After this win, the Milwaukee Bucks are only a half a game behind the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Boston Celtics now a full game behind your basketball team after this victory in Philadelphia, the first of a two-game set here at home in Philly. At the center, Sixers take the first one. Next game, Friday, 7:30 tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And maybe they get Jason Tatum back. We'll see. Maybe the Sixers get Seth Curry back. We'll see how it all plays out. But an entertaining game nonetheless, with everybody pretty much there outside of Curry and Tatum. Most of the usual suspects were there for the Sixers and the Celtics. And it was a very, very entertaining game, led by, of course, Joel Embiid's dominant performance. We started off the first portion of our show in the 6 o'clock hour talking about his MVP level performances so far through 11 games. This is his 12th game of the season, even with the Sixers playing 15, him missing three. And he goes out there and he does it again with a dominant performance with 42 points, 10 rebounds, in 32 minutes and 53 seconds, no foul trouble, only one turnover, two steals, two assists, one block shot. Joel Embiid, again, tremendous. Right now, great basketball, 12 of 19 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3, so 4 of those field goal misses were from behind the three-point line, but he got to the free throw line 21 times, making 17 of those, converting 17 of 21, and shooting more free throws than the entire Boston Celtics team altogether. Dominant performance from Joel Embiid. On the other side, Kemba Walker really got it started, but he was on a minutes restriction. So, with him getting off early, he was rolling early, but in the second half, he had to take a little bit of a seat. Only finished with 19 points on 6 of 15 shooting. At the half, Kemba Walker, 17 points. So only scored 2 points in the entire second half, and they were still in the game. Why? Because Jaylen Brown, great. Marcus Smart, fantastic. And Daniel Tice, surprising, 23 points and 10 boards off the bench for Tristan Thompson, who was also in foul trouble tonight for the Boston Celtics. But the night did belong to Joel Embiid because they got the win. He was the best player out there with the 42 and 10. You look at the rest of the Sixers, Tobias Harris, he had a steady night overall, 9 of 17, efficient from the floor, also 1 of 5 from behind the three-point line, couldn't get it going from deep, but the 22 points overall, 3 boards, 5 assists for him, 2 steals, and getting to the free throw line 3 times, converting on all 3 of those, nice performance from him as a secondary scorer for the Sixers tonight. Off the bench, Shake Milton, usual game for him, coming in, providing the scoring punch that they need off the bench. That's his role. He knows it. He goes out there and does it for 16 points tonight for the Sixers, knocking down both of his threes on the evening. 6 of 6 as well from the free throw line. So a nice performance there. 1 assist, 1 rebound, 4 turnovers. Surprising. Not really something that he does turning the basketball over, but all in all, didn't hurt them tonight. During his time on the floor, Ben Simmons, he had 11 points on 2 of 5 from the floor, converting 7 of his 10 free throw attempts. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we like to see, making your free throws, right? Making your free throws. He was in a nice groove tonight, and that's encouraging as you continue to move along and evaluate his season, evaluate his performances, 7 of 10 from the free throw line. I would still like a few more field goal attempts. You know, that's what we want. We want more field. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. We need more than 5 field goal attempts from Ben Simmons out there in the 33 minutes. Now, I will say this. He was in foul trouble, so maybe he would have had an opportunity to do so a little bit more, just a little bit more. But he was in foul trouble, so that's that. for Ben Simmons tonight, flirting with another triple-double, 11, 8, and 8 on the night. And he could have probably gotten that had he not gotten in foul trouble. Obviously, the 11 points, but the assists and rebounds, probably would have got that. Two steals, three turnovers tonight for Ben Simmons. Danny Green, 4 of 8, all of his shots from behind the three-point line for his 12 points, 6 boards. So the Sixers got contributions all over the place from their starting unit. Tyrese Maxey, this might have been his worst game as a rookie and one that he'll learn from. This is when he looked like a rookie tonight for the 76ers. 0-4 in 20 minutes and 34 seconds. Really didn't contribute much offensively. He was attacked early by Kemba Walker. Didn't seem like he got discouraged, but like we saw with Matisse Thybulle in the first half in game one a season ago, you know, you attack the rookie and you just go right at him because that's a different type of speed. That's a different type of challenge with Kemba Walker when he's able to just stop on a dime, put you on skates, make you go back a little bit. All you're confused. And Kemba had it going and he can never really get it rolling to Tyrese Maxey. So a learning experience for him, something to go off of to get back into the film room, look at things tomorrow and get back at it and redeem himself on Friday night against the same Boston team, maybe with another addition with Jason Tatum out there, maybe Seth Curry as well for the 76ers. So 610-632-0975 is how you get in with us tonight. Furkan Korkmaz's first game back, 7 points for him off the bench. Dwight Howard, the same number for him in the scoring column tonight for 7 points, 10 boards for Dwight Howard. So Doc Rivers goes 9 deep. Led by, once again, a great all-NBA and MVP-level performance by Joel Embiid. So 610-632-0975. We'll take your phone calls. We'll get the MVPs. We'll get your difference maker. And we'll also get your play of the game. And we'll do that first with our usual guests here in the post as we step into it. Every first segment on weeknights after Sixers games, we go to our normal Sixers insider, and that would be on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward, D. Lineham tonight. Hey, D.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? They're 10-5. How about that?
I know. I believe that's first place, with some people playing tomorrow and whatnot, but yeah.
Yeah, they're first place. Milwaukee's a half a game behind them, but most importantly, you take one from Boston, so Boston is now a full game behind you in first place, so that's not a bad start considering everything that has happened with this team with COVID.
Yeah, this team, this league. I would totally agree with you. Because when you say that, obviously you could welcome back two people affected by COVID on Friday.
Yes,
one for them and Jason Tatum, one for the Sixers and Seth Curry.
Right.
So, really watching. I look and watch how they navigate this pandemic and how teams are trying to deal with this as much as I look at, you know, who's playing tonight and who do they have, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. So, you know, you bank where you can. And obviously when you can have Joel Embiid playing at the level that he is,
man,
and obviously the compliments around him, you bank W's whenever you can because this guy's playing unbelievably right now.
Indeed, that's what we said early on. No matter who the opponent is, just go out there and pick up your wins, add those wins to your total, and
yep,
get back at it as your games go along and they get a little more competitive. And look, they've been competitive, but the Sixers have done, like we said, what good teams do. You win them. And tonight, and just like we've seen with many of the now 12 games that Joel Embiid has been in of the 15 that the 76ers have played, another dominant performance, 42, 10, 12 of 19 from the floor, 17 of 21 from the free throw line, D. That's one more than the entire Celtics team tonight. He was tremendous tonight again.
Well, and really, Devon, let's just go to the free throw line there.
Yeah.
One, he wants to go there. Two, to have your seven-footer be an 80%+ free throw shooter. Yeah, it's such a huge difference. You think of the big men through the years, like a Shaq. You know, Shaq couldn't do that. Dwight couldn't do that. But you can put the ball in this guy's hands in crucial situations in a tight game at the end of it, because you know he's going to the line to make those free throws.
Yes.
It's so phenomenal. And obviously, Boston made a choice today that they were going to put him on the line as opposed to giving him, you know, let him steamroll his way past Thompson or Peace or whoever was going to be in front of him. They'd rather take their chances, even knowing that he's an 80% free throw shooter, or 81, I think it is. So, but what a gift in a guy to be able to shoot that high percentage given his size and his talent, right? So, you know, it's everything you want actually in Ben to be able to give you at the end of a game, and he can't, but what a gift that your other guy can, even though he's not your point guard.
No, absolutely. And as you said, they made a choice, and it hurt them because he just kept going and kept going, and he kept knocking them down. And that's exactly what you want to see. And to your point, it's just right now is actually shooting 84% from the free throw line at this time. So his number is going up after this game.
Yeah, tonight, right. It was 81 going in, and so 17-21 will take you over that.
26.4 points per game. With 11 rebounds as well and 3 turnovers, which is encouraging because they're down a little bit from what he's normally doing. But, D, I did this when I did the lead-in to the show, the pregame show, and I talked about him looking away from everyone else as we prepare for the game, and obviously a big game against the Boston Celtics, a division opponent and the conference leader. I wanted to talk about Embiid in general because I saw a few things where people were talking about him in the MVP category, and I know you and I talked about this before, and he just seems like he's a different guy this season when he's been out there on the floor. He seems had to have a different level of focus when he's out there. And
more mature.
More mature, correct. And that's just something that I noticed, and seeing this one thing that I saw from Bleacher Report that had him as the number one MVP leader right now, which I disagree with, but I have him in the top three. But just the fact that they have him in there, the fact that they are in the position that they're currently in right now, and a lot of it mostly has to do with his level of play. And I asked, is this the guy that will eventually, you know, get you to that point that you want to do that? And I know it's early, but for him to, as you just said, more mature and a different level of play at this time, this is the Embiid that we've been waiting for consistently.
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to argue with any part of that. One of the things I said to Tyler is two things that he has to, quote, overcome. One is his antics in the past have probably hurt him. So now while he looks more mature and he's doing it differently, but you didn't do it that way for the last 5 years, right? So people remember who you were before they totally take you for the value in this moment. So he has that to overcome with national people for sure. You know, the trash talking, the trolling on social media, all of that. And the other will be, and we'll see how many games he plays, but when you're getting down to MVP and you're judging, there's some high-level talents, whether we're talking Kevin Durant, Giannis, LeBron, I don't know who are in your top three, but at the end of the day, when all of it is there and these numbers are so close in their own way, right? Not everybody plays the same position. How many games did you play versus the other guy? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times the MVP, I'll take Harden just as an example of his years when he won it. This guy doesn't miss games. And he plays a high level of minutes. And so as good as Embiid can be, it will come down to your availability. How many games do you actually end up playing?
Right. D-Line, I'm joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. 76ers pick up their 10th win of the season, leading the Eastern Conference with their 10 wins. The first team in the Eastern Conference to get the double digits with a 117-109 victory over the Boston Celtics. The very opponent that they'll host again on Friday in South Philadelphia, 7:30 tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. D, quickly, I had my three were LeBron, Durant, and then Embiid in that order at this time. And you know, so,
and,
it's what
and
it
you know
is.
The one, and you know the one that I always would have. Obviously, I mentioned those so clearly that was were in my head. But the one I leave off that is Luka,
yes.
Doncic.
Yep.
And honestly, for a lot of people, he's at the top.
Yeah. Yep.
So I guess I should pay a little more attention. I mean, I love the guy. I think I take a little more of history of the other two that, you know, kind of makes me pay attention to them more. But Luka certainly would be my fourth.
And Jokic also has to be in,
Jokic
in the conversation.
Jokic is in there. And that's not good for Embiid, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll either help him or hurt him because he's focused on that, knowing that he hasn't been first team All-NBA in a while,
right.
And the fact that Jokic or even for at least defensive player of the year, Gobert, he feels like he's slighted when it comes to those
in
two.
In both areas.
Right. So he might try to overdo something and go a little bit too far when he could just go out there and play ball.
Right. And in fairness to Embiid, he's more of a two-way player than either of the two that you just mentioned.
100%.
I mean, come on. 100%. Not even funny.
100%.
Where he gets hurt is that Jokic, I don't know if he's still leading the league in assists, but he was last, I checked, a couple days ago. And the other guy, because he's such a defensive, like, phenom, they both have one thing that has, you know, caught the world's attention.
Yep.
When our guy does both really well, too.
Yep.
You know, and his ability
like
to
you
get
said,
to the
it's
line.
It's the other thing of the antics that probably just take away from it. If he didn't do those things and he
probably
went out there,
he would be more recognized.
Yep. Now, let me ask you this, though. When you look at Embiid and everything that you're saying, do you feel like the antics and all, and we know with the birth of his son, Arthur, a namesake of his late brother, do you feel like this is something that with no fans in the building, it maybe plays a part in that a little bit?
Well, but you...
Because
the
there's nothing to go off of, right?
True. But the last home game, he made a point when he carried them on his back to, like, do his raising of the arms as if they were
right.
in attendance.
Acknowledging,
you know what I mean? Acknowledging them. I think it's more of the Twitter trolling and the... kind of, like, for instance, he could have gotten into it with Marcus Smart here tonight. We've seen it before. But he doesn't do what he used to do.
Yes.
Now, having no fans there might, you know, kind of, what's the point?
Exactly.
Who for what? So, to your point, that could be part of it. But I think it's more, I'm going to give credit to Doc and his staff and having, I'm assuming, conversations. And Embiid acknowledging that the way they play through him is not what has been done the last couple of years. So, and he's been wanting this. And I would say they do play through him, but a lot of people get involved in this scheme. So I think he feels comfortable. I think he feels like he's, you know, acknowledged as being the talent that he believes he is. And now that you are allowing me to show that, I'm focused on, I'm just going to keep on showing you how good I can be.
No doubt. No doubt about it. D-Line, I'm joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Sixers again, 10-5 after tonight's win, 117-109. They lead the Eastern Conference after tonight's win. So, D, they pick up the win. They had a nice balance in general outside of his 42. You got 22 from Tobias Harris. 12 from Danny Green, 16 from Shake Milton, Ben Simmons, 11, 8, and 8, knocking down 7 of his 10 free throw attempts, and 14 combined from Furkan Korkmaz and Dwight Howard off the bench as well. So they got 30 points from the bench, and they got some nice performances from their starting unit. This is, again, the team that, you know, just simply going about their business and doing what they need to do. How do you evaluate them right now? As hard as it is after... the games that have been missed and all because of the absences of so many players. I'm looking at them right now. How do you evaluate them?
Well, I would evaluate that I can't ignore that whoever has been available, I feel like they have taken the floor and delivered a really good product. That doesn't equal, you know, everything's a win. But when you needed bench people because you were so depleted, people like Dakota and Isaiah Joe delivered, right? Maxi delivered. And now as you roll back in people who come off protocol, look, I'm a big fan of Tobias Harris. Many people think I'm overboard. I don't think I'm overboard. I think this guy is just consistent. And so you bring him in, or bring him back, and he keeps doing what I think he always does. And then, you know, with Danny Green, to me, I'm coming to have a greater appreciation. He makes shots. He's a not as good a defender as he once was, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, Devon. I think that's just a part of getting older.
Yeah, he's just older.
That you look a step slower sometimes.
Yeah.
But what he brings defensively, because he is want and know-how. So I would say, who is this team? These guys belong, I would say, in the top four in your Eastern Conference. I know they're sitting at the top, but they're going to have competition as you continue to play out this season with at least three of these other teams. But I think it's close. I don't think anybody is so far ahead of the other guy, including these guys. And they can and have the ability to be right there at the end to represent your conference when all is said and done.
All right, and before we get to the MVP, difference maker, and player of the game with D. Lynam here, I ask you, Ben Simmons again, 11-8-8, improving his free throws tonight. That's something that we want. Only 5 shot attempts, but he was in foul trouble. As we talk about evaluating the team overall, how do we we talk about this all the time, but we can't ignore it. How do we evaluate Simmons as well when he does go out there? And I know how you feel, and I know how many people feel. They get the win, Embiid is tremendous, yet we can't look away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. I'm just going to say, Ben should be grateful that Joel has Tobias, because if it relied on the second person being Ben, and I know his defense, and we can get to the things that he did in the fourth, but I'm sorry, there's too many times I'm sitting here and saying, good God, help the man out, and he's not. But he does come through in the fourth. And, you know, so then you have to say, okay, tip my hat. But I think it's becoming clear. I think he's the third guy. I think that you have to flip-flop those two. Joel's your number one. Tobias is his running mate. And Ben's your third guy. It is not the other way anymore. Not in my book.
It's not what we wanted to see. But they got the win. They are 10-5.
Yeah, and that's fine.
He's contributing, but not how we wanted.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's okay. I mean, like right now, I think your team as a product is in a really good place.
Yes.
And you have a lot of people who are elevating their game.
Yeah.
Or because of who's, you know, the chemistry, the coaching, the scheme, whatever. There's a lot of people who are, you know, have come up a notch. I wouldn't say that Ben is one of them who has come up a notch, but it's fine. He comes through in certain situations, and if we can accept that, then that's okay.
Well, you know, we already had the reports out there after the James Harden deal, 2 reports stating that Simmons was obviously in it. One reporting, I believe it was Keith Pompey of the Inquirer, saying that he and Matisse Thybulle were informed of the deal that they were going to be moved on from. And then Mark Spears of the Undefeated, ESPN.com, pointed out that Simmons was elated that he did not get moved. So we'll see how it all plays out. But clearly, it's not like he's untouchable if the right deal is on the table. If we are to believe those reports. And the other one had Maxey in place of Thybulle in the deal with Simmons. So,
and again, one of the things, Devon, and I'm sure you get the same kind of calls I get on the weekend, it's who out there, I mean, I for one would not build a team around Ben Simmons. I can't do that. And but you know, you got all you need is one team that feels that they can.
Yep.
But I, for one, could not build a team around him.
Yeah, no question. All right, D. Obviously, they're 10-5 now after this win. Great performance. So we know who the MVP is.
Yep.
Joel Embiid.
Go, Joe.
Joel Embiid is the MVP with 42-10. What was the difference maker, or who was the difference maker for you?
So for me, I got to go with Tobias. And the reason is, I know he has a hot start, but just for people to realize, his 9 points in the fourth quarter on perfect shooting again, which he had 3 for 3 the other night in the fourth quarter as well. I just think it says to me, he never shies from a moment. It's a tight game, and Joe needs a running mate. He needs a second guy. And to me, Tobias he's become that guy.
Yeah, he has become that guy. And the difference that I noticed between the two, when you talk about becoming that guy, remember, as you know, and we've told people on the air, Jimmy was a Joel guy, where Tobias was a Simmons guy. And now I'm starting to see the trust that Embiid has for Harris out there, right?
Yep.
It's totally different. Yeah. It has definitely flipped.
You go with results matter.
Yes.
And results tell you, okay, now I know where I'm going.
Yep. Yeah. No question. My difference maker was tonight another statistic and not a player. It was the overall 36 of 45 from the free throw line for the Sixers.
Great.
Where the Boston Celtics were 13 of 20. And with them having 6 more made field goals and 11 more shot attempts than the Sixers, those free throws were huge, and none more obviously important than the 17 for 21, one more than the entire Celtics team from Joel Embiid. So that was my difference maker, and your play of the game was?
So because the fourth quarter becomes so, that's where you win this game. And how do you win it? You win it with defense. And they outscore him, I think it was 31-17, if I'm not mistaken. So, and because I feel like I criticize, I'm going to give the difference. It's a 4-point game. Ben comes up with a steal on Tease when it's 113-109. And if Boston scores there, it's 1:10 left. You know, that's a 2-point game. They can get a stop, and you can have a different story. You know, I could probably go with the rebound that Ben came up with also, but I like the steal because the whole thing about the fourth quarter was defense. They held him to 1 of 9 from 3, but I'll give it the steal on Tease by Ben.
Okay, cool. Mine, before we let you go, D, was the Danny Green 3 at 3:53 mark.
Yep.
Where they were tied 105-105, and it could go either way. And they had a little bit of momentum, but the extra pass from Tobias Harris right there next to him in the corner was Danny Green, and he knocks that 3-pointer down, and they did not look back, to the point that you made as well with the overall number, but they didn't look back. They didn't look back, and they walked away with the win, so that was my play of the game tonight. Day Sixers win 117-109. They're 10-5. They are the Eastern Conference leaders as of right now as it stands. They're back on the floor in South Philadelphia Friday night, hosting these very same Celtics with the 2-game series that they have. And I look forward to seeing hopefully both Tatum and Curry back so we can see both of these teams with a full complement and see what they have in store for both of these squads.
I think it'll be another entertaining game. I am hopeful both those guys play.
Yep.
And Devon, if I can just give you my real difference maker of the day for me, Amanda Gorman, who spoke today and read her poem. I mean, talk about kicking it out of the ballpark. I just have to say that is a difference maker in a huge way.
How about you just give her the MVP?
I'll give her the MVP. I'll give her all three.
Hey,
difference maker.
We know who it was for, but the MVP, she was fantastic today. Yep.
Wow.
Yep, absolutely.
And you know what? Can I just tell you one thing, Devon?
22.
I loved listening to her, but I so enjoyed going back and reading what she wrote.
Yes.
And the two are equally just amazing.
And realizing that she didn't know what she wanted to write until, unfortunately, things happened on January 6th.
Correct, on January 6th. Exactly. Yep. So, but to experience it in listening and to experience it in reading her are two amazing things. And I really hope people take the time to take them both in.
I wish I was that smart.
Yeah, right.
To be able to speak
like that. I wish I could write like her.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Well, listen, quickly, the Wizards and Bucks game on Friday has been postponed because of Wizards and what they're currently going through. And the Milwaukee Bucks, they do have the Lakers tomorrow, but the Milwaukee Bucks will not play the Wizards, now postponed because of the...
I saw that was possibility.
Yep, exactly. So there you go.
They're getting through it, though.
Yeah, they are. They'll figure it out, D. Thanks so much for staying up later for us tonight. And we'll catch up with you after the game on Friday evening.
It's always a pleasure, Devon.
Always, D. Always a great conversation. Thanks so much, D. Lynam, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Fellas, Chris, I know you've been waiting a while. You want to talk about the team and a potential move for a player as well. My man, hang on, Brian, and everybody else. We'll start the 11 o'clock hour with you as we go in the post. Sixers win 10-5. They're 117-109 victory over the Celtics. Devon Givens with you right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. We thank D. Lynam checking in the post after the Sixers' victory. Again, another 10 on the season of the 15 games. They are at the top of the Eastern Conference right now in the standings. Number one in the East, a half a game up on the Bucks, who are idle tonight. They have the Lakers tomorrow. Boston is now a full game behind the 76ers, back at it on the floor in South Philly. A 7:30 tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And as far as the Lakers go, they are 11-4. Both the Utah Jazz and the LA Clippers are 10-4 at this point. So the Sixers are the only team in double figures in terms of wins in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee and Los Angeles tomorrow. Let's see if Milwaukee will, take a little L to the Lakers tomorrow. We'll be looking at a nice full game over the Milwaukee Bucks here in Philadelphia. All right, 610-632-0975. And B, clearly just dominant tonight. We talked about him in the 6 o'clock hour for this very reason, and he makes us look really good with his performance tonight, with 42-10 tonight in the win over the Boston Celtics. 17 of 21 from the free throw line. The Celtics, 13 of 20. I'm sure Brad Stevens is going to complain to someone. He's going to complain to someone that they did not get to the free throw line enough. Because, Embiid owned it tonight. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to Tyler Zuli. We'll dive a little deeper into the box score like we always do in the post. And we'll take your phone calls. We start off with Chris in Florida tipping things off tonight in the post here on the Fanatic. Chris, how you doing?
How's it going, Devon?
Good, man. Thank you. It always feels good to come off of win and talk about things.
Yeah, man, it feels great, man. I'm honestly so happy for Embiid, for him actually putting in the work and having his great year, man. The MVP year is probably his best year he's had so far. And I think that we need to go all in, man. I feel like this is the time where he's going to hit his prime. And I think we got to go all in and try to get Bradley Beal. It doesn't matter what they ask for, just do it, man. Because if you think about a lineup with Curry, Harris, Beal, and Danny Green, those three-point shooters around Embiid, I think it's a wrap, man. I think we have a great chance to win that title.
And right now, again, I try to make sure that I'm a little more temperate with things and saying that I feel like that right now with Embiid being who he is, the supporting cast, and I would love to see him, as we hope to see them soon, Chris, with Seth Curry back out there so we can really get a full look at who they are with him back on the floor, see if they can pick up where they left off. And see exactly where they are. and then make that evaluation and start to see them against these teams like they will have against Brooklyn on the 6th of February. When they start to play these games, when they start to travel a little bit more, four games in a row that they're going to have a little bit in about a month or so, to see where they are and evaluate them, Chris, as that type of team. And then we can sit there and say, you know what? Maybe this team can make a difference in the playoffs with the shooters and be being that feature player and everything else that goes along with it.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just think that he definitely needs a second scorer. He needs help. He mm-hmm. does need help, because if you think about it.
Is Tobias Harris not that guy for you?
I don't think he's the number two. I believe he is number three in the championship team, just because seeing him in the playoffs last two seasons he was with us, I haven't seen him, you know, take that leap. Simmons, honestly, man, like, I cannot counter him offensively whatsoever. I know defensively he's good, but I would trade Simmons. You know that how they were saying that they were asking for Maxey, Simmons, like, four ones, and I think Millen for Harden, and everybody was like, I don't know about that. Like, you know, I would do that for Beal. I'm telling you, because I think he's younger, and I think him and Embiid will be perfect match.
From what I understand, I Washington doesn't want Ben Simmons right now. They, you know,
that's the thing. So yeah, man, that's why I'm saying, like, maybe 4-1s. Somehow we can get 4-1s. I would give up everything, because I feel like we don't have that much time, because Embiid, you know, I don't know how. Hopefully he plays for 10 more years, but I just think we should go all in, because if you think about it, this is why they started the process, like, tanking, because you need a guy like Embiid, and I feel like you got to help him out.
No, and you're right, man. Chris, thanks for the call, and maybe the focus needs to be somewhere else, a little bit lighter in terms of name value, but someone who can get exactly what you're talking about, Chris, for this basketball team. Many people have mentioned Zach LaVine. We can take the pulse on that. Chicago right now, under Billy Donovan, they're 6-8. They've been competitive. They've done some nice things. So with them being competitive and again, doing some nice things, maybe they continue to just let him play, let him continue to do what he does, which is score the heck out of the basketball, and then decide to move on from him and just, you know, start to add those picks. Is he along the same lines of Drew Holiday, where you can get a deal back like that? Or is it something a little bit lighter when it comes to Zach LaVine? I think people are going to have to start looking at some other names. Bradley Beal, for me, in my opinion, as much as I like him, and I know you do, and you do, and you do, everybody else does, that's not the guy that that's not the guy that they're going to do. I just don't think that's going to be it. 610-632-0975. A lot of really good basketball tonight in the NBA and the association. We'll give you the scores and give you some of the things that happened tonight that were really, really fun, like that Cleveland-Brooklyn game, a double overtime affair. Man, 147-135. Cleveland, huh? Kyrie was back, too. Let's go next to Brian in Plymouth Meeting joining us in the post. What's up, B?
Yo, D. Would you prefer I respond to that, or you want me to talk about the game?
Start with the game first and then get to the other point.
Okay.
Please.
I mean, we're seeing, like, the Embiid, this is what we envisioned.
Did you hear us, the 6 o'clock show? I know you've been, you know, you working, and sometimes you can't hear the 6 o'clock.
I only caught about 15 minutes of it, probably.
That was our talk.
I didn't hear your lead in.
So the conversation for that hour was, is this the one that we've been waiting for, and can he now do what we've been asking him to do going forward?
Well, but just what I mean is, we remember dominant Shaq, where that is just like the, you know, it's hard to not have a championship contender with a guy like that on your team, except this guy can shoot free throws and just shoot in general. And it's the idea of that nation is, you know, as we kind of went through, and you know, we're still not there, but, you know, when people would be, you know, just kind of fed up with one thing or another, be like, no, 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 we have to hold on to this guy, because if he does put it all together, this is just something that you know, it is literally generational. If not even that, I mean, it's beyond that. I mean, can you remember a dominant big man like that can shoot like this?
No, and when D and I were talking about this just before you came on in the last segment, and I know you called in right towards the end of it.
I did hear all of what D said.
Yeah, you know, talking about Shaq and the fact that when we started focusing on the other bigs that are currently in the league and how many people, you know, Embiid just gets lost in it because of the amazing things that Gobert does defensively and the offensive game that Jokic has, but you combine those two, and you can get this guy, except for the passing of Jokic. You're like, this guy does both. Yet his antics may have kept him out of those conversations that he should have.
I strongly disagreed with D about that. I mean, just the fact that he hasn't been able to put together a full regular season.
Okay. So, you know, it's well, she also mentioned, you know, the availability early on. Yep.
Well, you know, and Damon, you and I both listened to, I mean, I think there's 60 voters for those awards. And they trend a lot younger than what D is thinking. You know, I mean, the Zach Lowe's, Zach Lowe loves Embiid's, you know, the exuberance and the stuff that he brings to the game. And so I think it's more of a kind of an old school mentality. And I feel like I'm fairly old school myself, but I don't think the voters really think that way. I just think it's, you know, he hasn't played a full season. One thing I wanted, you're talking about the free throw percentage. I mean, I think 2 out of 3 years he's had like a lingering hand injury. Like I'll bet like through December of at least the last 3 years, I bet he had a high percentage, and then it'll come down because, you know, he gets hacked on the hand and he definitely plays through a lot of stuff, but he also gets, if he has something going on, like remember with the mask, like he just was constantly screwing up, he's fiddling around with it. Like when something's not totally right, it gets in his head and it affects his performance. Sure. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep. No. I understand. Yep.
You know, so but when it comes down to it, if he's right, I don't care what his percentage has been the whole year, I expect every free throw he shoots to go in, because it's just, he's got great touch and his muscle memory and his ability to repeat stuff is elite, which, I mean, that's why I always say to you, I have no problem with him. I have no problem with him taking as many three-pointers as come to him in the flow of the game.
Oh, we agree on that one. I just always say I like him to take no more than three, but as long as they're in the flow, I'm not mad. And I always go back to that Sunday Milwaukee Bucks game where he hoisted up about 12 because of the flow of the game. That's what the Bucks do. And he made a decent percentage of them. I think he was like 4 of 11 or 5 of 11 or something like that, and they won, and he was still dominant. I didn't care.
Oh, yeah. But to me, the more important thing is that he just be decisive. If the ball comes to him, if he's shooting, if he's going to
do it,
just don't think about it.
Right.
And same with Toby, too. He's been so much better at that after that. You know, we talked the night of the first game. Like, I'm a big Harris fan as well, but, or at least more than most. But that first game was so atrocious. I think that just allowed the coaching staff to be like, look, here's everything we need you to change in one game tape. And he's been so much better just in terms of decisive. And also, the play of the game was something, they were kind of disjointed coming down. It was Embiid, Simmons, and Harris. Harris called for the ball on the mismatch on Green and then just took it down, put it off the backboard. That kind of aggressiveness and assertiveness and calling for that ball and being like, I got this. Like, we haven't seen that yet. And that's really what we need out of him, because he is, you know, he's not the primary option, but when we need him, he needs to know when that moment is and seize it. And it would be
absolutely. Now look, quickly on the other point with the other stuff that we were talking about with the other players that you said you want to jump in on.
Well, I mean, I was just going to respond to a couple things. I mean, number one, as much as we just talked about Embiid, I don't go all in when there's always a unfortunately high chance that Embiid could be hurt and miss the playoff run. So I'm not going all in. But Beal's not all in. Beal's young. The Wizards would be insane to not trade for Simmons, especially with all the young shooting talent they have on that team. He would be perfect. Like, and you know, and obviously you're not building a team around Ben Simmons is an experiment, and it's not guaranteed to win you a championship. but I will bet you it's going to give you a playoff team and it's going to play exciting basketball that's going to put fans in your seats if you're an owner. And there is the upside potential on top of that. So, you know, teams that don't see that, or I would strongly disagree with you on that as well, because, you know, we've seen the formula with Giannis, and obviously Giannis, his finishing is two levels or, you know, even higher than the way Simmons is finishing this year. But Ben's passing is so much better than Giannis's.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
really, yeah.
You know, so there is kind of an even out with the hope that Ben can, you know, I would love to see Ben and Shake just playing horse in terms of just spinning the ball off the backboard because Shake is so elite at that.
Yeah, I saw him miss one that I normally see him make. And listen, man, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah.
Good conversation as always. Really appreciate it.
Have a great night.
You too, man. I saw Shake miss one that I was like, oh, normally he puts this touch and it's like, right? And it was a weird angle, but it's an angle that I've seen Shake make that type of shot. So 610-632-0975. Let's go back on to the phones. We'll get to, by the way, don't forget Leftovers with Tyler Zuli are in the post portion of the show a little bit later on, 11:45. We'll get that with Tyler Zuli. Let's go to Ben in Pottstown next on the Fanatic. Ben, how you doing?
Hi, Devon. Hi. Yeah, it's Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. It's been a historic day, right?
It has been a historic day, and it was you know, normally we don't talk about that type of stuff because you never know where people go, and you don't feel like
arguments about that stuff.
But it was a really good day today.
Yeah, I agree. And talking about really good day. And by the way,
that D line brought up Amanda Gorman. She was fantastic today.
My goodness, what a brilliant mind!
Yes,
and she wrote that literally in a week,
right after everything that happened on the 6th of January.
My goodness, it was like I didn't see the whole. I didn't hear the whole poem, but it was well written, well beyond. I don't know how old she is, but you know, she didn't appear to be that
22.
Wow, she looked younger than that.
Yeah, she looks really young. Good for her. 22.
Anyway,
she's great though. Yep.
Talking about young and old. I want to talk about Coach Rivers. I think he's doing a fantastic job. I kind of compare him to when the Flyers hired Vigneault, and in his first season, you know, he's been around. He's won a cup or two, or maybe three. I don't even know, but he's accomplished. And the Flyers have gotten off to a slow start again, their traditional slow start. Well, he decides to call out Voracek and Giroux in the locker room in front of all the players. And you know what? That season, like, turned around. And I just appreciate what, you know, Coach Rivers brings to it. You know, I know there's a lot of talk about Ben Simmons and his unwillingness to shoot a jumper. But I take my cue from the coach. And when he was asked about that particular issue, he said, I'm not worried about it. And to me, that's like, well, if he's not worried about it, I'm not going to worry about it, you know? So obviously he sees something there that, you know, maybe it's a work in progress or maybe it's not. I don't know. But I really appreciate what he and when you compare him, and I was a Brett Brown or a Brett Bear fan. I liked his coaching style, but he tended to be a little bit more abstract, you know. When in the post games, we would make these, I don't know, literary allusions or suggestions, which. Kind of like, sort of like Fred Shiro back in the day when the Flyers. You're too young to remember Fred Shiro.
Yeah, I know of him, but yes, you're right.
Yeah, but he was known for being really abstract and sort of like, you know, a third dimensional type of guy. And he wrote weird stuff on the But the players responded, obviously, and they won two Stanley Cups. So, you know, but I think Doc is more practical, more down to earth, more pragmatic. And I really appreciate his style. And obviously, he knows what he's doing as well. So, I'm going to let you go. I just want to hear maybe some comments in regard to that.
Yeah, Ben, thanks for the call, man. Be safe. We'll talk to you. For sure. We will get to that on the other side, and we'll address Doc Rivers and what he has done and the meaning of him joining this team and what he has done for the players in general. 610-632-0975. Chuck, we'll get to you as well and everybody else that's there. We'll talk to you 11:45. We will have the leftovers from Tyler Zuli tonight and get his thoughts on the game as well. All right, Sixers win. They win their 10th of the season, 117-109, two-game series with the Celtics here in Philadelphia. Game number 2 will be on Friday, 7:30 tip right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, the Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, final segment, 11:30 right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. In the post, 610-632-0975. Sixers, 117. Celtics, 109. Pull out a close one. This was an entertaining game. Hope you all enjoyed it listening here on The Fanatic. And Ben Simmons, almost another triple-double, 11 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. Tyler and I, we think we have something in terms of a conversation piece to talk about a little bit later on. Obviously not tonight, but a little bit later on in the week or the coming weeks to talk about Ben Simmons. And I know it's a little tiring to talk about Ben Simmons. Trust me on this one. You know, it's just a little bit different than some of the things that we've done in the past where you may have heard when it comes to Simmons and the conversation piece that we might have. And it's not about trading him or anything. So we'll get to that. But Embiid dominant, 42, 10 boards, 17 of 21 from the free throw line, 12 of 19 from the floor, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block shot, 1 turnover, 2 personal fouls. He was available tonight. And they needed every bit of him out there on the floor. All right, 610-632-0975, 11:45 with Tyler Zuli. We'll get the leftovers, and I will also get his thoughts on the game tonight, this team, and Embiid, where he sees Embiid at this stage of the season after now playing in 12 games. They are now 10-2 in the 12 games with Embiid on the floor. Chuck in Dallas in the post. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, man, what's up?
Oh, man.
Good win. The game, man.
Listen, this was a good win tonight.
Awesome win. I'm psyched, man. This is the thing. This is the Embiid I've been looking for. Like, he brings back memories of Barkley dominating in the post and Ewing dominating in the post. I really think his ultimate ceiling somewhere between Shaq and Olajuwon. Like, he has that type of skills, like this smoothness of and quickness of the foot, like the dream, but the dominance in the body of Shaq.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because he's bringing it. He can dominate. We just need that other superstar that can do it. And that's my concern, is if we get to the playoffs the way we're currently constructed, Simmons is going to be the weak link again, because he doesn't play perimeter game. So they're going to sag off of him. I mean, you already know what's going to happen. You know
basketball. I do. But this is where we said, all right, let's see him with a new coach. What does Doc Rivers do differently than Brett Brown? Or what does Doc Rivers get out of Ben Simmons that maybe Brett Brown could not, unfortunately, because the voice was just too much at that point where they needed a new one?
I the only thing I've seen so far with him, and I've seen some of that tonight, is his free throw shooting. His form is a little cleaner. The ball looks like it's going in better, but I just don't, like, he just comes across like a poor man's Jason Kidd, where Jason Kidd wanted to have an offensive game, but Simmons doesn't really want to take that, and it just bothers me, because at the point you're paying him and you're expecting him to play at, you know, and I know they're going to get into the playoffs. They're just going to sag off of him. Even tonight, I saw him. He was on the post around the the circle.
Yeah, Jeff Teague on him.
Like, shorter than him, and he just back him down and throw up the hook or something. And he just—it's like he has no offensive plays within 5 feet of the hoop, and he just either passes it out or throws up that weird hook shot. And it's not going to get it done in the playoffs, and that's just my concern. Because I see Embiid is bringing it. Like, I am psyched, but I don't know. I think if they don't do something, I think he's going to be the weak link being Simmons. I see some mild improvement with Doc, but not to the level we need. Every team that wins has two superstars, and I'm not seeing it with Ben right now. That's my concern. No, wondering what you think about that.
No, and you're not wrong at all. And that's why I said if he's still here, which I think he will be, I believe that what a lot of us are going to focus on, because even if he was having a fantastic regular season, as you pointed out, it always comes back to, well, what is he going to do in the postseason? And I think that's even when we had the conversation that's been very good about Embiid, he's been great. We still get to the postseason and say, Embiid, we need you healthy, number one. And number two, in order to be able to put up those numbers, we need you available out there on the floor. So for Simmons and Embiid specifically, and Tobias Harris to a certain extent, the playoffs is really what matters. This is all great getting there, but getting through the first round, get to the second round, and get beyond that point, that's where it is for those two.
All right.
I
agree. Good to hear from you.
You too, Chuck. Appreciate it, man. That's what it is. That's what it's about when it comes to Simmons and Embiid. It's about the playoffs. But when you're playing like this, like Embiid is, you can't ignore it. I mean, we got 72 games to talk about. Of course, our eye is on the prize, which is the postseason, but we can't ignore what he's doing and act like it's not happening. We'll just say when we get to the postseason, my man, I need to see this again in these games. That's what we'll be doing, and rightfully so. 610-632-0975, Cam and Chester in the post. What's up, Cam?
Hey, man, what's going on, man? Is there somebody who, like, talks to Ben Simmons? Is there, like,
yes.
I'm just confused, man. Like, I was watching his college highlights yesterday. I was watching some high school stuff. He shot it before, and it looks okay.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's, like, is he scared? Like, I just don't know what's going on with him. Like, he's less aggressive, and it's like he's not even taking it to the cup anymore, just dunking on people. Like, at least last year he did that. Like, I just want to know, like, man, is he seeing a sports psychologist? Like, I know LeBron is his mentor. Like, did they not talk to him? Like, I'm just confused.
Yeah, he is talked to. First of all, the Sam Cassell thing with him is real, and you know Sam Cassell. It's a matter of him taking all the stuff in and then going out there and applying it to the floor, like we always talk about, right? So Brett Brown even talked to him, Cam. He pleaded with him to do these things. He just didn't do it. I'll ask you to, if you can, when you get a chance, in the next couple of days, whenever you have time, look up Jackie McMullen's story about Ben Simmons from, I believe it was in May, April or May, and they talked about this very topic that you're asking about, and it dove into a lot of it, and he said he understands, he knows he needs to shoot it, he understands he needs to shoot it, he has talked to someone about it. His high school coach, since you talked about high school, he was also quoted in there about being really hard on him and coaching him hard. And he accepts that. He understands it. It's a mystery at this point, Cam, when it comes to Ben Simmons. Because look, we shouldn't be talking about this at this point 4 years in. We shouldn't be talking about it when Embiid has 42-10 and Simmons has 11-8-8. We shouldn't even be talking about this at this point, but we are, and we all understand that it's very frustrating, man.
Yeah, man, it is, man. I don't want to see him traded. You know, I thought he could be a superstar. Like, I'm like, you know, this guy could be a top five player in the league when he gets it together, man. I'm starting to get Evan Turner vibes.
Wow. Honestly, yeah, wow, yeah. How about that? Haven't heard Evan's name, who's also an assistant on Brad Stevens' staff. How about that?
We waited for Evan Turner to be great, and he never turned out. And, man, I'm definitely starting to get Evan Turner vibes with Ben Simmons, man. I don't like it.
I hear you. All right, but I got to ask you, what about Embiid in the play that you've seen from him?
Oh, Embiid's looking great, man. It looks like he's in better shape. Looks like he wants to win, man. I'm just trying to figure out Ben Simmons, man. I know him and Embiid live together. They were supposed to be working on things, you know. We got the highlight, you know, tape of him training, you know, Orlando. I'm bringing the jump shot out in Orlando.
Oh, when he was talking to, who was he talking to? Tony Snell.
Yeah, I'm bringing it out in Orlando. And, like, man, we just... Aside from the other night when he hit the little turnaround, like, fadeaway jumper, I'm like, okay, you can do it. Do it.
But then when he does the other one where, like, he did and he shot that three from the wing and it was an air ball, and then the other one where he shot it and he almost put a hole in the backboard, that discourages him and he won't, and then it takes him a few games for him to do it again. So it's a mystery, as we say, Cam. Listen, man, good to hear from you. We'll talk. Hopefully we'll be talking under better circumstances with Simmons, where he knocks down a couple of jumpers and gives you a big-time triple-double. Thanks for the call, man. 610-632-0975. We weren't even trying to go in this direction because Embiid was 42-10. Simmons was 7 of 10 from the free throw line, which is encouraging. As soon as you bring him up, it happens. It happens. Steven in Jersey in the post next. Steve.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Oh, man. I know. It's like, you know, you want to celebrate. It was a good win, but, you know, there's something.
Yeah, it takes away from what Embiid did.
Right? It does. Embiid is playing so well. And by the way, Harris looks like a different player, too. Yeah,
he's doing
like
it.
The aggressiveness. Yeah. Like, you know, and he knows he looks for a mismatch, and he, like, goes hard against the glass and, like, puts like, he's really playing well. But look, I'm a psychiatrist, and I think Simmons needs my help. I really think it's mental. Like, I think he...
I agree.
Because, you know, you watch him in warm-ups, and he shoots okay, and his form's good, and the foul shots look better, but he just has a thing about not doing something that he doesn't think he's good at.
I've said this, too, not only with him, but with a lot of guys. Like, we talk about high school players coming into the league, right, Steve? And they don't have to shoot because they're so good getting to college first. And
right.
Then they're even still that talented where they don't have to shoot. Like, I'll give you the prime example of my guy, Dennis Smith, who just could get to the basket anytime he wanted to. He'll lay up package is great. He'll dunk on you,
right.
All that stuff, the floater, knock down a jumper every now and then. But when they get to the league, Emmanuel Mudiay, another guy, they didn't have to do it. And now they're kind of behind, and it's going to take some time for them to get to that point. And now when you talk about Simmons, who I think is one of those guys, too, who's been so good, Steve, since you're a psychiatrist. He's been so good at everything. This one thing he's not great at.
Right.
And he doesn't want to look bad doing it.
Right, and I guess, like, you know, I used to blame it on Brett Brown, like, okay, you know, he doesn't have the cachet to, like, make him shoot. Like, because, you know, everyone's playing team sports. A coach gets in your face and says, you're going to do this. I just want you to do it. But I don't know. I thought Doc Rivers would do it. He doesn't seem. It's like, it's the big elephant in the room. It's like, the other thing is, it's got to be weird for everyone in the locker room because it's like no one talks about it, but it's like, you know, everyone talks about the offense and how well it looks, except for that one thing, which is Simmons, like, dribbling into the foul line and then
picking
not
the ball
knowing
up.
What to do with the ball.
Yeah,
it's like, it kills me. And I just think he needs, you know, it's not the coach because you got a great coach in Doc Rivers, but there's something in his head he needs to, you know, it's like he's OCD about everything with basketball. And unless he could do it perfectly, he's not going to do it. And I just wish... It's going to hold them back because you see, like, they're barely beating, like, Boston, who's missing their best player.
Yeah, and if Simmons and Steve, players, but, yeah, and if Simmons gave you that extra thing offensively that you would like from him, then yeah, it wouldn't even be close when it comes
no,
to
it. Wouldn't, you know, if he could shoot, you wouldn't even dream of trading him because he'd be the next LeBron.
He'd be unstoppable.
I mean, he's LeBron without a shot. But
yeah,
anyway.
He'd be unstoppable. Steve, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah,
be safe out there.
Man.
We'll talk again for sure, man. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Matt in Norristown. We still got to get to our leftovers with Tyler Zuli here tonight. What's up, Matt?
What's going on, Devon?
How you doing, man?
Good, man.
We're trying to talk about Embiid in his great performance tonight, but you mentioned Ben Simmons. And
yeah, then, yeah, you guys got me on a tangent, and I just wanted to...
We weren't trying to get there.
Yeah, he was great win tonight. Embiid, you know, could be rounding into MVP form, hopefully, that Toki can, you know, get through this season healthy. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on, am I the only one who's not disappointed in Simmons scoring? You know, yeah, yes. Does he have the talent to be scoring 20 a night, and should he be shooting the ball more? Yes. But I'm totally fine with him getting, you know, 10 boards, 10 assists, and playing the defense he does, especially now that we have the shooters on this team to space the floor. I don't see the problem with him, you know, scoring less than 15, you know, 12 points a game.
Hmm. See, here and here's the thing.
And I wish people could focus, you know, more on his defense.
No, I love what
rebounding and assist.
I love what you're saying, because this is kind of the direction that we're going to go when we talk about this in that vicinity. Again, I'm not going to give out what we have, because I want to hold on to it. But you're right around in that area of what Tyler and I were discussing, Matt.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I feel like this has been the big thing on Ben. Everyone focuses on the one thing he doesn't do instead of the eight things that he does do, you know, and I get it, you know, his ceiling's so high and he's so talented that, you know, should he be scoring 25 a game and shooting the ball? And if he did add that dimension to his game, would he be an even better player? Yes, but maybe that's just not him, and I think we got to appreciate the way he rebounds the ball, the way he assists the ball, and the way he plays defense.
Here's the only comeback if I were to play devil's advocate, Matt.
Sure, yeah, of course, Devon, yeah.
We've seen him do it before. We've seen him do those things. Be aggressive offensively, put up 20. And I never asked for 24, 25. I've only said give me, because he averages 16, 17.
Yeah,
give me
18,
19,
yeah,
20,
yeah.
9, and 8. And knock down your free throws at the 70% clip. Get to the free throw line, get to the rim, finish stronger at the rim because you're 6'10 and all of that, and you're ambidextrous, and you have the finesse to your game as well, and the power. I think it's fair for people to ask for that.
Yeah, I can see why the people are disappointed, but I just, you know, I'm a Big Ben guy.
So am I.
And I think, you know, he's not one of these players that if he's not shooting the ball well, if he's not scoring, that's the only thing he does in the game. You know what I mean? He does so many other things that, you know, it's just, you know. But have a great night, Devon.
You too, man. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, man. Let's go to Lee in Delaware next to close things down. We'll get the leftovers with Tyler Zuli. Lee in the post. Yo, Lee, what's up, man?
What's up, man? It's been a minute, man. I apologize.
Nah, man. You working. Hey, family stuff. Happy New Year.
That's exactly what it is. I'm leaving work right now. I didn't even get to watch the game. But I did. Look, you know, I'm looking on my phone trying to keep up. And I really wanted to call. Obviously, Joe is balling. And, you know, the things you said about Ben, like, for me, I just need the shot. You know, just shoot the ball. I need about 10.
Yeah, just field goal
shots.
Attempts. Not, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And I just looked at something. I just looked at something where they, I think he's going 4 or 5 straight games with single digits field goal attempts.
Yeah. See, I can't have that.
No.
I need 12 attempts a night. That's what I need from you. And I need you to get to 70% from your free throws. And then we'll work on the aggression, because I would love for you to start turning the ball over and dunking on people.
Uh-huh.
But I ain't even going to ask for that yet. Right now, just give me 12 attempts. Give me 12 shots.
Yep.
But what I did want to call for, obviously, Joe is Joe. But I tell you what, two people 2 years ago was high on this guy. And it was my cousin, and then it was Tyrone. Shake Milton, every time I look at this dude's stat line, do you realize, Devon, he's averaging about six or seven free throw attempts per game?
Yeah.
Boy, he's balling, man. He is balling offensively. I never expected his game to be like this. He might be, correct me if I'm wrong, but he might be the best finisher around the rim, left hand, right hand on his team.
Oh, easily.
It is incredible. This dude gets buckets. And I think it's real. Like, that's what I'm so excited about, because as I watch every game, he's scoring in multiple ways. He's doing it off the ball, on the ball, penetrating, getting to the line. Like, I think this dude is real, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he's the real deal.
And
man.
I believe Doc feels the same way. That's why he that's why he allows him and just go out there and be Shake when he gets into the game.
That was my final point. Doc believes it. Did you hear him the other night? When he scored the 28, Doc said he had to tell him after the first quarter.
I need more.
He's coming out passing the ball and stuff. Like, what did you do?
Yeah, I need more. He had 31. Yeah.
He said, exactly. He said, you don't come off the game like you did the other night and then come out passing the ball. He said, I told him, he got to keep going. I love it, man. That's like my favorite storyline of this whole team this year is the young guys. You know what I mean? That's my favorite line, favorite storyline.
Yeah. The young guys, Maxie had an off night, but he's a rookie. And, you know, he's going to have these. But for the most part, during the season, he has been really, really good.
Yeah, how about the my man, the three-point shooter, man? I can't remember his name right
Curry?
Now. Curry? No. The kid.
Isaiah Joe.
Isaiah Joe, yeah. Oh, man, my man. Dog, he got
once he puts some more weight on him, and you know, he feels really, really comfortable out there.
He got a stroke, Divine.
Yeah.
Like, off the dribble, catch and shoot, quick release.
Yeah.
And he got a little swag to his shot. Yeah. You can see it in there.
I know. Good dude, man. We talked to him after the draft, and he was great, man. So, can't wait. And that's the tough part, too. You can't even see these guys, talk to them. Engage with them like that. They're good dudes, man. Good dudes. Man, we got to catch up. I got to come see you one of these days. You keep telling me to come down there. I'm going to make my way through there.
All right.
I still got your number, man. I'll reach out.
Yeah, reach out, man. Yeah, for sure, man. Hopefully you and your family is doing well, man.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, man. All right, man. Be safe getting home, man. Thanks, Lee. Ty, you got like 2 minutes for leftovers or Sixers, whatever you want to do, have at it.
All right, we're going to make this leftovers quick. Philip Rivers is retiring from the NFL after 17 seasons. Spent 16 with the Chargers, the last with the Indianapolis Colts. He ranks fifth in NFL history with 63,440 passing yards. The only players he's behind in that category are Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Brett Favre.
Hall of Famer.
8 Pro Bowls. And he's fifth in the league history with 421 touchdowns. Again, only behind those four guys. That was what I was going to ask you. Is he a lock Hall of Famer? Is he a maybe Hall of Famer? Or is he not a Hall of Famer?
I think he's a maybe Hall of Famer. But like right there on the edge of I'm in.
I think statistically speaking, he's a lock.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the conversation's always going to come up him or Eli first. Eli's got the two rings. Rivers has the numbers. It's a conversation that's going to be had for a long time.
Yeah, it definitely is, man. But great career.
Washington Capitals' Alex Ovechkin, along with Evgeny Kuznetsov, Dmitry Orlov, and Ilya Samsonov have all been added to the daily list of players who are, quote, unavailable to player practice. And according to COVID protocol, the team, the Washington Capitals, that is, have also been fined $100,000 for violation of health and safety protocol. Doesn't mean they necessarily tested positive, but here's what happened. The players were in violation of NHL safety protocol for grouping together in a hotel room. Here are the rules. Players will be required to stay in a single occupancy room, and no individual shall permit guests or other personnel in the room other than hotel staff.
Man, COVID doing it. COVID is doing it. Can I tell you? COVID is doing it.
A federal judge in North Carolina has granted Zion Williamson partial judgment in a lawsuit against a former marketing agent who sued the New Orleans Pelicans star for $100 million in damages for claiming a breach in contract. The judge voided Williamson's marketing agreement with Gina Ford and Prime Sport Marketing because it didn't meet the requirement of North Carolina Uniform Athlete Agent Act. Williamson sued Ford and Prime Sports in June of 2019, and the same month, they sued him. So Zion wins the at least a partial agreement in this case.
Leave that dude alone. Come on. Leave him alone.
And one final story for you here tonight. We talked about it a little bit, Devon, but Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, officially the president and vice president of the United States.
And I love it. Much needed. Hopefully we can bring the country back together. Get this thing under control. We know, look, coming in, stepping in, he's got a lot. They have a lot of work to do. But they're off to, obviously, a decent start day one. We'll see how things go going forward. And it's a good day. It's a Good day.
I would agree.
You even had the press secretary actually asking, answering questions and not being snooty out there. So, the White House. And Bernie Sanders, outside of the great poem, of course, that Dee Lynam was talking about earlier today.
By the way, with
Bernie
that,
Sanders won the day number two.
with that poem, did you catch the two Hamilton references in there?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, so she and Lin-Manuel Miranda were tweeting back and forth after she did her, you know, she recited the poem. And she's like, hey, did you catch the two Hamilton references? He's like, of course.
Ah,
nice. He loved it.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. So great work by her, and we'll be hearing a lot of her. But Bernie Sanders, can't forget about him. Tremendous. Tremendous. Ty, great work, man, both here tonight with us and, of course, doing the Sixers work as well. Marty Dickerson, Brian Seltzer, Tom McGinnis, and Nat Marlowe. We thank the callers. We thank Dee Lynam. We thank the listeners and the tweeters as well. We'll be back tomorrow following the Flyers game tomorrow. They're back on the ice in Boston for a four-game road trip, two in Boston, two in New Jersey. And they start off tomorrow, 7 o'clock, I believe it is, right here on the Fanatic following Cousins Corner. So we'll talk to you after that. We'll go in the crease until midnight. And everybody have a great night. Have a great day tomorrow. We'll catch up with you after the Flyers game tomorrow, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.